better. Okay. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to not going to read the whole narrative of the flood situation, but I would like to just pick up some scriptures in various places of this. Talk about new beginnings. We are living just as Noah was in the days of Noah. Jesus said this, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." In other words, when Jesus is ready to come back, it will be exactly like the days of Noah. Just people will be living life. And we're living in an age where we are getting close to the second coming of God in the person of Jesus. But you know, religion can blind us to the sign of the times. We can be looking everywhere else but at the right sign. Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, "When it is evening, you say it's fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the sign of the times." And what was the sign of the times at that time? It was Jesus. He was the sign of the times. And what was true in the days of Jesus was also true in the days of Noah. It was a person who was the sign of the times. And the sign of the times was none other than a man called Methuselah. And the sign of the times is in the meaning of his name. His name is broken into two words. The word met, which means man. And it's only used five times in the Hebrew Bible. The word for man is the word Adam, Enosh, Geber. There's quite a number of them. And they're used over and over again. But this particular word is only used five times. And it speaks of men under the destruction of death and judgment. We find it twice in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Psalms, and the book of Job. Five times, that's all. In fact, in Deuteronomy 3:6, it said, "We devoted them to destruction, as we did to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, devoting to destruction every city, men, women, and children." And the word men there is this word meth. They were devoted to destruction. The other word that's used in this name is the word shelach, and it means either a dart or a javelin. And it's also the word to send forth. And if you ever play darts, you just don't hold on to the dart, you send it forth. In other words, when you combine this together, it says when he dies, death and destruction will be sent forth. So every time they spoke his name, it was a sign of the times that God was going to bring judgment on the world. Not very many people recognize the sign of the times in this person. Because it is interesting, when Methuselah, when he was 187, he gave birth to Lamech. That's Genesis 5:25. 5:28, when Lamech was 182, he gave birth to Noah. And in Genesis 7:6, when Noah was 600 years old, the flood came, and when you add those all together, it's 969 years, which was the year that Methuselah died, which is pretty interesting. And we wonder today, Are we living in the sign of the times? And recently, this year, Billy Graham died in February, and his daughter, who is a 69-year-old, and she is considered probably one of the best preachers around, her name is Anne Graham Lotz, and she spoke the eulogy at her father's funeral. And she explained that the date of her father's passing, which was February the 21st, held spiritual significance that was a strategic, it was strategic from heaven's point of view. She said that that particular scripture, that where Moses led the people out of Egypt in a great as a great liberator, is the day when the Jews focus in on that particular scripture on that particular day, which was the day that Billy Graham died. Because Moses was the great liberator of God's people. Millions were brought out of slavery into freedom. Billy Graham was used by God to bring millions out of the slavery of sin into freedom in Christ. She goes on to say that when Moses died, the new leader was Joshua, who led God's people into the promises and the promised land of God that he had promised to them. She says the New Testament name for Joshua is Jesus. Billy Graham has died. He is a great liberator that God used. And it's her viewpoint that the next occurrence will be the coming of Jesus to lead his people into the promises of God. Now, whether she is right or whether she is wrong, what she is saying is this: wake up, church, because we are living in the last days. We're living in the last days. The scriptures say in Genesis 7:7 that Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. That's a family portrait of God's family. If you go into most people's homes who have a family and they have pictures on their desk or on their walls, the top priority is given to your family. Pictures of your family are on the wall because you love them and you care for them and they belong to you. Noah and his family were God's family. And they went into the ark. And it's what is interesting about this word ark. It is not a Hebrew word at all. It's a word borrowed from the Egyptian language. And the word in Egyptian means a palace. And a palace is a large home that has many rooms. Kensington Palace has 775 rooms. The only other time it's ever used in the Hebrew Bible is regarding Moses, who was placed in a basket. And the word basket or ark is this same word, which means palace, which is really interesting. For the next 40 years, Moses was raised in the Egyptian palace. But you see, God in Christ spoke to his family and he said, Jesus said, I go, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. We belong to a spiritual house, and it's God's house. It's God's temple, and it has many rooms. We are God's family. You see, Jesus is our Noah. You see, Noah had his bride, his wife, beside him. He had his sons who were born to him beside him. And here these the wives of the sons who were adopted through marriage. That's exactly who we are. We are the bride of Christ. We were born into the family spiritually, and we are adopted as sons and daughters into that family. That's who we are. We are the family of God, and we are in the Father's house, even at this moment. It's a spiritual house, a spiritual temple. It is very interesting that the Chinese character for a boat is three symbols: vessel, the sign for the number eight, and the sign for either a person or a mouth, which is a person. And together, it's the image of a boat with eight people in it. You see, eight is the number of resurrection, something that we'll look at further on. When we go to Genesis 8, we'll discover in chapters 10 and 11, and he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark, and the dove came to him toward evening, and behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. The dove and the olive branch coming together is a sign and is a picture and a biblical symbol of the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came like a dove upon him. And he was anointed with power to the ministry that he was called to. You and I, when we become part of the family of God, we just don't become part of the family of God. God anoints us with the Holy Spirit, the dove. The Spirit, like a dove, comes upon us, and we are filled with the power of God. We have the anointing of the Spirit upon our lives for ministry. God is calling us to that. And it brings joy into our lives. It brings joy into our lives because we are part of the family of God and we are saved from the wrath of God. But it brings joy into our lives because when the Spirit enters into us, it gives us this inward joy that we have. I remember when I was I first came to the Lord, and I knew my whole way of thinking had changed. And nobody knew it but me and God, of course. And then I met this person at work who had given me a New Testament. I started to tell him about what I'd been reading. And as I was speaking it out of my innermost being just was this flood of joy that I discovered. And I realized afterwards it was the Spirit was being released in me. And it was a feeling of the presence of joy of the Spirit of God that was within me. And it just filled me with so much joy. In fact, it says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's this inner joy that we have. It's when the Spirit came upon God's people at the day of Pentecost. People were saying, they're full of new wine. Why? Because when people are filled with new wine, there's a joy about them. The joy in Scripture, wine always speaks of joy. They would have wine at weddings because it was a joyous occasion. We are people who are supposed to be joyful because we are entering into new things. We are a new creation. And then in verse 18, or verse 13, I should say, now it came about in the 600th year, and the first year, in the first month of the of the first of the month. You see, when Noah entered into the ark, he was 600. A year later, he's 601 on the first month of the first year. This is New Year. And if you go, and every time there's New Year, what happens? People are celebrating. They're up at midnight. They're waiting for the ball to fall. They join hands and they all sing for Auld Lang Syne and great joy, because it's a new beginning for them. We have this every day. I said to somebody, I go to the Commonwealth pool, and I said to the guys in the locker room, I said, you know, today is the first day of the rest of my life. It's a great day. And some guy says, that's just a cliche. I said, what do you mean a cliche? It's the truth. It is the first day of the rest of my life. It's the first day of the rest of his life as well. But you see, we are a people of joy. This is a new day. In Psalm 118, it says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In fact, somebody said to me at the locker room, he said, you're one of these guys that the cup's always half full. I said, well, hey, why focus in on the empty when you know there's something in there? But you know, we're supposed to be that type of people. People who rejoice every morning you waken up, you say, wow, it's good to be alive, but it's great to be in Jesus. This is something new for me. It's new for you. In fact, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He said, and I know that a lot of us are getting older, you know, you can see it with the gray hair and the aches and pains that we have, but the Apostle Paul says, don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So every day you're getting newer, not older. How about that? As Larry Gills shared, he said, we're not a physical being with a spirit. We are a spiritual being inside a body. And you've got to start thinking that way, because it's just a new beginning. Today is a new beginning of your life. Even although things are looking pretty bleak out there. But finally, I would like to speak on this particular passage of Scripture, and it's, I don't know if I've got it up here. Yeah, the rainbow. You know what's happened to the rainbow? We have allowed the world to steal the rainbow. Listen to what God said. Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every creature of the earth with you, and all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all successful generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it will be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, and that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all the flesh. And when the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Seven times God speaks this word covenant, and demonstrating it, the covenant is through the sign of the rainbow. Seven times. And it's interesting that in a rainbow, there are seven shades of color, because God is beautiful. There's beauty in God. There's beauty in his people. But there is beauty in his love for us. Three times, God says that this covenant is between me and the earth. Four times in this, he speaks of the covenant between me and you. He says to Noah, between me and you. It's personal. Covenant is always used to express love. It says that Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Covenant is always about love. You see, when God speaks his covenant to the world, what he is saying essentially is this: for God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's the beauty of God's love. So every time the world sees that rainbow, it is God speaking to them and saying, I love you. I love you so much. The beauty of my love is seen in my son, Jesus. And he's speaking to you and I. He's saying, I love you. And this covenant is between you and me. It's personal. It's personal. You see, Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. That's why in a marriage relationship, it's not a contract that can be broken. It's a covenant that only death can separate. Because God says in his word, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, who was his bride, and gave himself for it. It's a covenant of love, regardless. You see, God loved the world. And there is a difference between God loving the world and God loving us. Because God loves the world and he loves us equally. He loves you as well as he loves somebody who's his enemy. But when you and I come into the family, we are no longer called ones who are loved. We are called the beloved. Remember when Jesus was baptized and God spoke and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And every time when we speak of the saints of God, God speaks of us as his beloved. We are the beloved ones. That's how he thinks of us. He thinks of you and I the way he thinks of his son. And he says, you are my beloved child, and I am well pleased with you. And every time you see that rainbow, God is speaking to you and saying, I love you. And every time the world sees it, it is basically saying, John 3:16, I so love you that I send my son, Jesus, to die for you. My brother and his wife went back to Scotland to minister to the Scottish people through a ministry. And while they were there, my sister-in-law, her name was Marie, her sister was tragically killed. And she was just so overwhelmed with grief that she couldn't get out of it. And one day when her husband, my brother, was driving them home, she looked out the window of the car and she saw the most beautiful rainbow. It was vibrant. And she was immediately filled with the love of God and the hope of God. And she felt God was saying to her, "It's okay, Marie. You're going to get through this. I love you." And it gave her hope and joy in the midst of her grief. That's what the rainbow does for us. But what about the world? We used to live down in Dallas Road, just opposite the Ogden Point Cafe, you know, where the breakwater is. And I would often take a walk in the breakwater. And one day I was on that breakwater, and there was a lady. She was about 20 feet in front of me. And I don't know if anybody else was there, but I saw her. And I don't usually do this, so don't think I do this all the time. This was a one-off. And I just felt God was asking me to pray for her. And I'm just in my thoughts, I'm praying for her. And I'm saying, "Lord, would you bless her? Just bless her. I don't know who she is, but just bless her. You created her and you love her." And then I realized that woman, like all of us, have trouble and we have anguish and we have struggles that we've got. And I says, "Lord, you know that she has got some struggles in her life that she is struggling with and she doesn't know how to cope with it. Would you just bless her in this?" And as soon as I prayed that, she stopped, turned around and looked at me. And I thought, "Whoa, is she reading my thoughts?" And then she said to me this, "Did you see that beautiful rainbow there?" I didn't realize it at the time, but God was saying to her, "I love you. And I'm going to take you through this struggle that you're going through." We have allowed the world to take the love of God and twist it to something that doesn't relate to. We need to take it back. Every time we see a rainbow on a flag, on the street, wherever we see it, may we look at it and say, "You know, that's the love of God." And when you meet somebody who thinks a rainbow is theirs, you tell them, "You know that God loves you, and that's a sign of the love of God for you. It's a sign of the love of God for me." You see, in this particular passage, it is spoken of seven times because there are seven colors in the rainbow, and God's love is complete. This number seven is a complete number. It's the perfect number. But it is also, in the narrative of this flood, it is spoken of in chapter 6, verse 18, where God speaks to Noah before the flood comes, and he said, "I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you." Eight times. And what is eight? It's the number of resurrection. We are a resurrected people. Eight is a number of new beginnings, new resurrection. We celebrate on a Sunday because this is the eighth day. This is Resurrection Day. And we should always be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that is the fullness of the love of God. God wants to give you and I a new beginning. He wants to give the world a new beginning. Let's remember that we are God's family portrait. He has us hanging on his wall saying, "That's my family. That's my bride. These are born into my family and they're adopted into my family. I have filled them with my spirit and my power to share my good news with others. This is a new day. The first day of the first month of the first year. This is New Year, a time of great rejoicing, because God has sent his sign to tell you that he loves you. This covenant is between me and you, he's saying. It's between me and the earth and every living creature, because I love this world and I love you. You are my beloved. Go out and tell those who are loved by God that I am giving them a new start in life. Let's take the rainbow back, because it's ours, it's God's. And let's use it as a foundation, as a springboard to tell people about the love of God. Because we are living in the last days. We have wonderful opportunities. Lord bless you, and thank you for allowing me to minister this morning.